To episode 200.
Woo!
Oh god, of the podcast. Thanks, y'all. Yeah, we were gonna do something for this episode and then we had depression, so you just get more unhinged book talk. Hooray.
It's a great thing for our book podcast.
It's true. I'm Kate and I'm here with Chris and Burb and Devin, and we are starting Path of Vengeance by Kevin Scott. We read through chapter 21 to find out what Marta's been doing since basically the beginning of phase one. Spoiler alert, she's not doing great, but whoever is in Star Wars, also in real life. What are we? I see Devin's like laugh crying.
I'm just having a great time. It's fine.
Yeah, you know.
Definitely had a work meeting yesterday that was like, so like, how's like everybody's teams doing with everything going on? And there was like a minute of silence and then somebody else was like, I mean, fucking bad. Like, I don't know how you want me to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, when we hopped on this call, did we call this a call? It's not a call. Kate was like, how are we doing? Fuck you. Kate said, how are we doing? And we were like, bad, actually. Yeah, thank you for asking.
Yeah, unequivocally bad, but here we are. The only thing I have is shitposting about Star Wars and my dogs. So,
you know.
Also, I just want you all to know that Orca has just finished his dinner and decided he wants to play. Flix is napping. He is repeatedly shoving a ball into her back in the hopes that she will wake up and play with him.
She's not having any.
And she is steadfastly ignoring him right now.
Listen, he's not her favorite right now. He keeps like burying her under blankets like they're at the beach or something. Like extremely older sibling behavior. Like he's fucking had it with him. So anyway.
Everybody's always like, Orca's so cute. And I'm like, Orca's a little shit. It's just that he's cute enough that he gets away with it.
Orca's a little fucker, man. I love him so much.
Or it is because Orca's a cat.
Oh my god.
He's a good boy.
Not your comfy ball either, dude. Like, that's... Anyway, whatever. What are we drinking? I'm not going to ask Barb because she's taking a sip. Chris, what do you have?
I am drinking water. With healthy electrolyte tablets in it.
Fuck yeah.
So it has flavor.
Oh my gosh.
Because I drank yesterday, and apparently I'm old enough now that I don't want to drink twice in a row. I do get tequila knee. Absolutely.
I went out.
I get it in my back, though. Still tequila knee, but in my back.
What?
Have we not talked about this? Oh, yeah.
We have talked about it multiple times. I'm still confused.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like, I'm almost positive we have.
I went out on Friday and I felt, or on Thursday, and I felt bad enough that I felt fine on Saturday, but I still didn't leave my house for 2 days.
I get it, bro.
I was like, no, we're good. We're not tempting the fates.
Oh my gosh. Listen, being an aging introvert is a whole situation. It's fine. It's whatever.
Yeah. I went out with a bunch of like bartenders and I made it to like midnight and I was like, I need to go, man.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. He's like, you guys keep having fun. I'm going to take a lift home because I got to wake up in the morning and finish my timesheet.
Wow. Wow. What a sentence. Oh my God. All right. What do you?
I love to be an adult.
What do you have there, Burb?
I'm drinking a beer. It's a pilsner. I'm feeling very... I'm not high on the brewery right now, but it is for my friends down the road. Support your local brewery. Don't fire your kitchen staff. Don't do AI for your shit. Yeah, it's going bad.
That's
how do you replace kitchen staff with AI?
I don't
poorly, probably.
Yeah,
not very well.
I do not want to eat there.
This is reminding me of the curse, like, what was it, like, fried rice robot or whatever the fuck our friend sent us? I can't remember.
I don't remember.
What it was. It was, like, a robot that was supposed to, like, make fried rice, except it was very clear that if anything went wrong at any time, it would not know what to do with its six hands. So, yeah.
How many hands does a shrimp have?
The shrimp fried this rice?
Why can't the shrimp fry the rice?
I mean, that does seem like the number. How many legs do shrimps have?
Six, how many right? legs? Hey, Siri. How many legs shrimp?
I don't remember.
Oh,
all I know is shrimps is bugs, so I assume it's six. God.
Shrimps is bugs. They have 10 feet, which are true walking legs.
Oh, my God.
But they
I really hope everybody
more
tuned
that.
Into this pod for
shrimp
10-year-old pop culture references and just general Googling, because if so, you are getting exactly what you wanted.
But there's this one I'm looking at. Is that I can't tell based on that picture on Wikipedia. They have a lot of legs.
Listen, I was gonna say, like, I've like shelled shrimp before. They have a hell of a lot of legs. It feels like way more than 10, like three times as many, like 30.
maybe some of them only walk on 10.
I don't know.
I can tell you that
character. Because I don't know their name. They have a bunch of arms, and at some point I know they had like four.
General Grievous.
Thank you.
Okay, General Grievous.
Nice.
General Grievous
is bugs.
Though.
General Grievous is bugs.
That's true. Oh my God.
Sorry. Kate, what are you drinking?
I just had tea because I am simply trying to fucking stay alive here. Black currant tea though, so it's pretty, you know.
Fancy.
We're feeling fancy. Devin, you have anything besides your cat that was in your lap I saw like 5 minutes ago? Yeah.
Oh, she's still in my lap. But first of all, shout out to Black Currant. So I also have tea. Before I left for winter break, I cleared out my fridge and stuff because I knew that did I know that we were getting the snowstorm at that time? I don't know. I think I just cleared it out because I knew it was going to get paid and I wanted to get new stuff. And when I came back and I made lunch, I saw that I had like a little tea packet. So I don't know what tea it is, but it tastes nice, which is why I said all that. It was just a loose packet, so... Just had a little loose.
I love that for you.
Listen, I've absolutely like found mystery tea in my cabinet and been like, what's the worst that could happen to me? So whatever. It's fine. Like, you know,
so like that's what I got.
Yeah. All right. Speaking of having a bad time, no, but for real, our cause for this book is the National Immigrant Justice Center. So that's immigrantjustice.org. Their whole mission is for Chris to put his cursor right there. So to block what I'm trying to read. Thank
Stop.
You. God, this is Chris. their mission is to establish and defend the legal rights of immigrants regardless of background and transform the immigration system to one that affords equal opportunity for all. But most importantly, they have a lot of really good important toolkits for Know Your Rights when it comes to ICE, and they've been very active around all of the legal battles around that. I don't need to tell you that bad shit's going on, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably here for the Sower shit posting, so you don't have to think about the bad shit. Me too. But like, yeah, just please fucking give them money. Everything is so fucking horrible. There are no words. There are not enough words. There are not enough normal words. There are not enough swears. I hate everything. So anyway, National Immigrant Justice Center, please help. But really, please fucking help. Holy fuck.
Europe has a chance to do the funniest thing ever, is all I'm saying.
Listen, if we're just
if we're
out
sending
here,
them over to fucking...
If we're just out here kidnapping motherfuckers, I keep being like, now do me! Do me, please. Jesus.
Speaking of cults.
And oh my god, in fucking deep.
That was the, this was a little rough to read this week. I'm not gonna lie.
It was very hard to read this week.
Man, listen, I'm not saying it was fun to read for me to read this week, and also I feel like my brain must be whatever weird like being very used to dissociating from trauma thing happened in my brain. I was like, reading this is fine. Something in my brain partitioned that off and was just like, a Star Wars. I don't want to think about there, actual things.
There's something about specifically reading about the Battle of Jeddah, because it's the exact feeling I had
for sure
back in September when we were reading the comics, and then Charlie Kirk got, and I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's too on the nose what's happening real life, where the horrors.
Because comics and Charlie Kirk dying are both enjoyable. I don't understand the I don't understand the connection personally, but
that's a risky error one. I don't know if I'll do it for that one.
It's all right. I don't think any of our three listeners are gonna be too mad about it.
Erica Kirk's not mad about it, so whatever.
Fucking Christ.
Do whatever.
She is firing a lot of fucking air horns.
Oh man.
Confetti cannons.
Mm-hmm. Her weird spangled pantsuit. It's fucking bananas out there.
Her couch fucking secret boyfriend.
Correct. I love to keep from crying every day. But yeah, see, I don't know what it is for me. I feel like when I was watching Andor, it felt like watching that felt too fucking real. The book felt fine to me, but also we all know there's something very, very wrong with me, like 10 different somethings, so like that's neither here nor there, frankly. So that is a very whatever ass reaction for me. That being said,
Path is still a cult.
Yeah, it's still a cult. Marta's still out here being very into the fucking cult. Jan is still out here being, wow, this is so bad for you, and also I would like to leave, and also I don't know what to do with myself, so I'm not gonna leave.
I was gonna say, Yana out here being like, man, if only anybody could stop me from doing this, as she continually marches back to the cult.
I know. I mean, you know, I definitely she feels some obligation to Marta, and also to, we will talk about being haunted by ghosts, question mark.
She's still like very like in on making sure her dead girlfriend's father is happy, even though he's always been a dick to her.
It's we will also get to that, but yeah, like, no, it's sad.
Fully a non-believer, I wish I could leave. Let me go do this thing to make the mother happy, even though she tried to kill me several times.
Is she waiting to exact some sort of revenge? Yes, and also, I also definitely feel like now that all her hopes and dreams have been shattered, she literally does not know what else to do with herself right now.
Yana, there's a lot of babes in the universe.
But there was only one core. Oh,
ladies, okay, girl... The girl you're in love with at 16 is not going to be the best. Your cult girlfriend, there's a lot of hot ladies across the galaxy. And they're into intimidating women.
You haven't even dipped your toe into the dating pool of not in a cult.
Or even, not on a fucking mud ball of a planet,
Like, develop your frontal lobe. There's other people out there.
Oh, man. The galaxy is your oyster or whatever. And yet.
Is that racist because she was Nautilin?
What the fuck? I was going to say, is that, I don't know, is that a sapphic joke because oysters are...
yes, because my friend
it's definitely one of the two.
Has a giant oyster tattoo on her arm.
Dude, I kind of want one. Anyway, that's a whole other topic. I've just seen some really pretty ones.
Just put it right next to your moth tattoo.
Yeah, in case people couldn't tell that I am queer. I just completely fucking lost my train of thought.
Sorry, I looked up Nautilins while thinking about how, like, fuck it, let's get a pair of scissors put on our body. So
this is why we're friends.
Amazing. But yeah, Marta's just like continually getting deeper into the like believer bullshit. Like, she's continuing to drink the Kool-Aid more and more, even after Jetta. Like, so the first few chapters we read are showing Jetta from Marta and Yana's perspective, and that went poorly.
Nice. My thing with Marta is that, like, throughout this section, we see her kind of losing favor with the mother specifically, and we see the path as a whole losing favor with the galaxy at large, and she's just, like, digging in, even though, like, she gets her title as the guide taken away from her, and still, when the mother, who is obviously not well and is, like, deeply sick, is just having seizures, like, alone on the gaze electric, in public, on stage, she's like, oh, actually, it's a force vision. That's what this is. And I'm like, that's...
I've just been having them increasingly because the force is so strong in me.
But not in a way that is bad.
I can see why this one was tough to read right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, it's real bad.
I mean, you know, it's not the force if you count the force as the bad dog, like, slowly leeching your brain out of your brain. You know, like, seems fine.
Levalito's never done anything wrong in his life except for all of the people he's murdered.
All of the atrocities.
He's not Levalito anymore. He's like the size of a fucking truck, dude. Like, he's so large. Senor
he level. He is Levaloso, it's true.
I was gonna say Senor Level, but that's only because I don't
Senor Level also good
as a language, so whatever you said probably makes sense.
No, I like yours better. We're going with that.
Bolshoi Level. But yeah, they, like, I think when they get back to Donna too, in terms of, hey, this is a cult, she's talking to, like, the sheriff. And the sheriff's like, hey, your cult's doing weird shit. Right. And Marta's like, it's not a cult. And everybody in the galaxy is, like, side-eyeing her.
I feel like everybody in the cult is, like, side-eyeing her. Like, no, we're a cult. Like, we know.
It's like, it's okay to accept it.
We're not a cult. Like, we just live in a commune and we all dress the same.
And we have an unwavering faith in our leader. Despite her.
Yes, procedures and her whatever the fuck else. I really love when Yana gets back to Donna and she's like, I've been gone for 2 weeks and y'all have gone full crazy. She's like, I thought I had a really weird time just, like, drinking at the Enlightenment, busting my father-in-law who kind of hates me out of jail, watching him stab a priest, like, you know, whatever. And then she gets back, she's like, no, this is the weird part for me. This is very fucking strange. And I'm like, honestly, like, I kind of get it.
Yeah, it's never a good sign when the cult takes their little, like, faith wavies on their forehead to, like, slashing lines down their whole face to be like, oh, we are normal people. And definitely not a cult.
Yes.
I missed two meetings and now we're speaking in tongues. What is happening?
Dude, that part was nuts. I was like, what in the Pentecostal bullshit is happening right now? It was nuts.
Why are there snakes now?
Uh-huh. Actually, if you read the Bible, that was part of the Old Testament when they, I don't actually, everything I know
about. I was going to say, I don't know where you're going with this, but I'm on board.
Everything I know about the plagues comes from the Prince of Egypt. And I don't even think there are snakes.
No, I was going to say, I'm almost positive snakes were not a plague.
Cool.
Snakes were not a plague. Snakes were a miracle. From Moses.
What about the power of Ra? Don't they turn something?
Yeah.
This is not important.
Frogs were a plague.
Jesus. There were snakes, though, I'm just saying. You're not wrong.
These snakes lived with Jesus and the dinosaurs. Sorry, we've gotten way off track. Even for us.
What the fuck? All right.
Hold on, I want to contribute. I've had it with these motherfucking snakes on these motherfucking flakes. Sorry. And I'll do this.
Oh my god.
There's a lot happening right now.
Speaking of Jesus.
The mother is the worst kind of Jesus. Yes.
Yes. I think we're asking with the first book, like towards the end of the first book, like why would Marta lean into the path even more? And you know, we kind of touched on, like, you know, in her grief, it is absolutely like a psychological reaction to like go harder on your beliefs. We've probably seen this many a time in real life. And where are we? I'm gonna jump to the fact that Everini can see dead people. because that was wild. I was looking at the book, and on the back jacket copy of the hardcover, it's literally got some dialogue from Kevin, and I was like, is this a fucking spoiler that you slapped right on the thing? And it's no, Kevin's just in the prologue being a fucking ashy ass ghost. Like,
like, I mean, just, Kevin's in the whole time being a ghost.
He is.
Which I got this. Are we just like doing this point now? Can I start talking?
Yeah.
I understand that my reading comprehension is not always the best.
Okay. Good start. I love where this is going.
Which is great for me being on a book pod. But when I think it was maybe Yana who was talking about, like, she was in the bar on Jeddah. She was in
Enlightenment.
I wanted to call it Evanescence or some shit, but that's...
Oh my god!
It's like, it's an E! But there's this part where she's, you know, she hears these things that, like, people are yelling at her about her species, and it's like, oh, they hang out with dead people all the time. Everybody they've ever killed, like, lives on. And then she and Marta both started, and I was like, oh, obviously this is a rumor, because that's insane. And then she and Marta both started, like, having full-on conversations with the ghosts of their dead teenage lovers.
You don't?
And I was like, wait a minute.
Is that normal for you? I want to say that Yana was already seeing Kor at the end of Path of Deceit.
That makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Well, because part of it was like, is this a trauma, like a trauma response? Like, again, maybe not the best parallel, but if we've seen The Haunting of Hill House, like, the dad sees his dead wife the whole time. And I'm like, is this a trauma response, or is this... this is a show about, it's got haunting in the name. And like, clearly it doesn't play like by normal life rules, but it's hard for some of us to tell. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? So, like, obviously, yeah.
I mean, I think the difficulty is in that, like, force ghosts do exist, obviously, in this universe. Like, it's not unheard of for ghosts to fucking exist. But, you know, Yana says at some point that she feels like, she thinks Kor is not real. She thinks that Kor is a whole manifestation of her guilt over the fact that, she couldn't save her, and she feels responsible for her death. And she still hasn't gotten any justice for it. And so, like, it feels like that sort of thing is haunting her, more than anything. And I think she's right about that for the most part. Like, I don't know if Everini just have particularly active imaginations for dead stuff, but I don't think Kor is really there. I agree with Yana that it's more manifestation of her mental state than anything else.
Which is what I thought until fucking Kevin showed up again.
Yeah.
That's true, but also, if you actually, like, look at what Kevin is saying, it's 100% not Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, like, it's absolutely not Kevin.
It's not Kevin's actual, like, essence, so to speak. Like, it's very much like Marta's own insecurities.
Yeah.
It's deeply Marta using Kevin as, like, an interface to, like, reassure herself that she's saying and doing all the right things.
Right. And also...
because, you know, Kevin's, like, taking her side on shit that, like, is not the Jedi way.
No, he's saying all kinds of shit that he never actually would have said, like, in real life. I think
Kevin actually just got red-pilled when he died, and now he's just negging the shit out of her.
Fuck. What the fuck? I do think that Kevin is analogous to Korin, that, like, absolutely he's kind of a manifestation of Marta's guilt. Like, she didn't do a good enough job converting him to the path's point of view, and that's why he died. And, like, also slightly different function, as y'all were kind of, like, talking upon, that, like, he's a, like, definitely, like, he's a mirror for her to, like, reflect back to herself, like, yes, this is the right thing to do, and you're affirming all these things for me. And, like, also almost like a kind of wish fulfillment of, like, you know, if you're dead now and you believe me, and if you had just done that in life, then nothing bad would have happened, and then maybe it wouldn't be maybe it's your fault, maybe it's not my fault, like, that my cult pulled out a bad dog that ate your soul and then you died. Yeah, no.
Casual.
You know.
It's a minor thing.
I will be curious to see if Kevin pops back up again, because Marta seems to think that she's left him behind because she's fucking big dude.
She found a new lover boy.
Okay, so
strong boy too. I love that for her.
Okay, here's the thing though. I'm not always the best at, like, remembering what species are called what. But, like, this is the species of motherfucker that came up in, Chris knows what I'm fucking talking about. Came up in Rise of Skywalker, who had that really horribly delivered, like, win the war line before he got beheaded, and then his head was delivered to the Resistance, and I was like, I can't take you seriously! You are a joke to me, big boy!
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
Excuse you, Bullion has a name. Bullio, excuse me.
I don't fucking know what this fucking name is. I just know that it made me... I've only seen that.
How can you not know Star Wars legend Bullio?
He's no Cloud, okay?
He's no Cloud. This is true.
Entirely.
Bullio was not the stupidest character in Rise of Skywalker. This is definitively true.
Which is incredible.
Oh, the stupidest character in Star Wars was Poe Dameron's heterosexual ex-girlfriend.
Which is the only
thing I remember from that movie.
No, you're not wrong. I've seen that movie exactly 3 times, and every time I was so angry. I just, like,
Poe, he's Hispanic, but he's not gay. Dameron.
I've seen that film exactly twice.
Yes, exactly.
I have no idea what happened.
That's the joke.
Fuck, I forgot about that. Jesus Christ.
Right? It was so bad.
This is how I feel about Deadpool and Wolverine, by the way.
he was dealing in that spice, which,
God, I guess whatever.
It's a conversation that was not on this podcast, but it's okay.
Listen, I've seen the movie exactly 3 times, and the last time I watched it, Chris was like, "I don't know, have substances before you watch it. Maybe you'll be less mad." I was more mad. If anything, I was So I was just like this incandescent little ball of anger sitting on the couch watching this thing. So
I've seen it twice, but now I'm like, maybe do I have a gummy and watch it?
No.
I've done that.
Maybe not.
I found that it did make it better because, like, I was just laughing at it, like, at how bad it was.
I think it depends on how mad you were in the first place.
I'm gonna be mad when I start is the issue.
Yeah.
I don't
recommend it, but you do you.
Yeah.
See, I've just reached Zen with how bad it was.
For a second, I was like, who's that character? I don't remember him.
Oh my god.
Zen with 3 N's.
Listen, I've also reached my peace with it. I just don't look at it. Ever. That's it.
My thing with Marta.
Yes.
And like Kevin and her new tall, handsome boyfriend who may or may not later die in The Rise of Skywalker. It's that she has like...
Years old. Yes.
Well, actually, it's not the same because like the new guy is like deep in on the path. But she has somebody she like loves and respects who's like, hey man, this isn't how the Force works like at all. And she's just so still deep in it that she's like, you don't know this. And it's just like, they go to Jeddah and they like meet all these people. And it's the whole point is like, let's talk to all the different representations of religions related to the Force. And she's like, no, this is the way, but like not in the fun way, in like the sorry.
This is the way, but not in seasons 1 and 2 when the show is good. Like season 3, the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, yeah. Like this is the way specifically if you listen to the mother, our Force Lord and Savior, who is definitely not Force sensitive.
Nope.
Or dying.
Or bad.
Either one.
Just for fun, I pulled up a list of like, how do you know you're in a cult? would you like me to read you 10 signs you might be in a cult?
Yes.
All right. Absolute authoritarianism without accountability.
Marta.
Zero tolerance of criticism or questions. That definitely didn't happen in this bit we read. Lack of meaningful financial disclosure regarding the budget. I know.
I have 1 million Zuckles asking what you're talking about.
That was incredible. Unreasonable fears about the outside world that often involve evil conspiracies and persecutions. A belief that former followers are always wrong for leaving and there is never a legitimate reason for anyone to leave. Abuse of members. Not that we fed any of those people to the bad dog ever. Records, books, articles, or programs documenting the abuses of the leader or group. We're not going to talk about the reporter in this episode, but I am very intrigued to see what will become of that. Followers feeling that they are never able to be good enough. That's not Marta. A belief that the leader is right at all times. A belief that the leader is the exclusive means of knowing truth or giving validation. Gee, I wonder.
She's having four streams.
Anyway.
Marta's really out here like, I'm sorry that y'all think that we're in a cult, but we're just built different.
It's fine. And again, Yana just Kool-Aid Manning back into the fucking compound like, what the fuck happened? Absolutely fucking bananas.
Side note, I love that when they came back to Donna, fucking... her father-in-law was like, I'm gonna hang out at this old dead guy's hut. And she like gets to the compound and everybody's at the fucking hut and she's like, well,
that didn't work,
gonna worry about this later, he'll see it and maybe do something, not my problem anymore.
Right. One more thing about Marta and Yana, and it makes sense for Marta, and I actually don't love Yana's characterization in the first third of this book, because it makes sense that Marta has absolutely no understanding of power dynamics. Like, she's a child who literally grew up in a cult. Yana's been off planet a lot. She was like the crew of normals who did all the like criminal shit. She should understand that if she doesn't have something to offer, she needs to get the fuck out, or else she is like very much in danger. And yet she keeps putting herself back into this situation, which, like, you know, I think we can attribute to the trauma of Kor dying and like the revenge aspect and whatever it is that she's trying to accomplish with the Herald. But like, I don't know. I feel like both of them just have absolutely no concept of like, make sure that you are remaining useful or you are going to be a problem.
I feel like Yana does know though.
Yeah. That, and also Marta's like, what, late teens or whatever? She's like, what, 18 or something? Like
yeah,
that?
Marta's a baby. Marta.
Okay, but like, you're saying she grew up in a cult. Yes. Yana was like parentified in a horrible incident that wiped out her entire fucking family, came to the cult as a teenager, that is still a child, and furthermore knows that there is nowhere for her to go in the as I slapped Chris's computer, nowhere for her to go in the galaxy where she's going to be safe or welcome. So what is she supposed to do?
That's a fair point. That last part's a fair point.
Fuck you.
Yana's just fucking in the cargo hold talking to herself like, this is a bad idea. I think so, and so does Kor.
Yikes. Listen, at least she didn't think the rice was rice.
at least she didn't think the rice was rice. All
right. I mean, if you put her in with the rice, maybe. Or she would ask Kor what she thought the rice was.
Not her just like mumbling to herself and everybody just being like, okay.
Yeah, and they keep like talking to like their ghost exes and people are like, hey, what? They're like, what?
What?
Still not a cult.
Everything's
still
fine.
Not a cult.
Everything's fine. Everything is super good. Just really quickly, obviously this is a good thing that's going to unfold over the course of the rest of the book, but oh my god, the mother is just, there's so much going on, like all of it is bad, I can't even, the random like shitwack of money, like the narrative that she spins, like, and that Marta helps her with to, you know, twist the narrative around Jetta, which doesn't even work well.
But if you throw a bunch of money at it.
Oh my gosh, I know. And then, what? Oh, yes. You know, sending people on a suicide mission to Planet X we have in here. And also, we things that were mentioned previously in the comics, I clocked that she and Jedi Olivia have the same last name. And Chris was just like, wow, somebody has reading comprehension on this pod, first of all.
Even I caught that one. Shit.
And also, you know, what do you call it? Vildar's already got a bad feeling about this in terms of Olivia hiding things. So I'm excited to see what the connection is there and what's going on. But yeah, very suspicious things are happening. The mother is bad. Etc.
And specifically with the mother, I mean, obviously, like, she is no longer, like, really, like, mysteriously hypocritical like she was in, like, the first book. Like, now it's very much out there, but, like, she sends, like, somebody with Force-sensitive tracking powers to Planet X to find, like, more levelers. Like...
Who's Force-sensitive there?
The guy with no mouth.
Oh, yeah, the one who's talking in their brain holes.
Dude,
yeah.
That was one
they have to shoot.
That was one of the top creepiest things I've seen in Star Wars, okay? It was him freaking the fuck out, being like, we are about to unleash hell on the galaxy, and everything is going to die. But in your brain. Like, I will tell you that directly
and,
into your brain hole.
While and the cult said, shut the fuck up, buddy, here's yep. a space bullet.
Correct.
But yeah,
blast
and like,
her to the head.
Yep.
It's just very interesting to see, like...
That's how we solve stuff in space, America.
The hypocrisy is just very open at this point because, like, before it was like, oh, no one's going to notice that I am, like, using the Force to influence people. Now she's just, like, outwardly being like, oh, are you trying to arrest me? No, you're not. Like, right in front of everybody. She's, like, sending Force sensitives to use their Force powers to try and find more levelers, which, like, also... How did you think that was going to work out? Just out of curiosity, I would love to know what the thought process for that was.
Just a fun offering for all the baby bad dogs, you know? Here's a snack. Come home with us.
I mean, maybe he was bait. Maybe he was supposed to be bait. We'll never know. Because he's dead.
Yep, he's dead in the face.
But yeah, it's just like everything is like the veil is being pulled back. Like there is no more... That wasn't even intended Aww. For once. But like there's no more subtlety to it.
Who put force eating platypus eggs on this fucking outline?
I'm gonna give you one guess.
That's so good.
But also, yeah, like, you know, we'll talk much more about Planet X next week. because obviously they like just got there slash will they crash, we'll maybe see. They actually die and the story just ends.
I don't they have found Planet X.
Yes,
they have. The quest has been quested.
Are we gonna find out whether Sunshine brought those other two along literally so they could just like crash into stuff so that he wouldn't die?
I don't know if it is explicitly revealed, but that is certainly the impression that I got.
Okay, great.
Was he that smart though?
I mean, he came to the planet once before and had a general sense of how the Veil worked. Maybe if he's like, if somebody else attacks the Veil, then the Veil will attack them back and the rest of us will be able to just crash peacefully.
Love to crash peacefully.
Just sneak on by. Excuse me.
Falling with style. What? It's all Disney. It's within Toy Story's in the Star Wars universe.
It's a very exciting landing is right there.
But yeah, so like we'll talk more, but like let's go to the planet that like has been described as everything is trying to kill you, and let's take eggs from these fucking like murderous platypus force eaters. What could go wrong? Surely there will be nothing guarding the eggs. Surely there will be nothing stopping us. They will just be sitting in a meadow, stacked, waiting for us.
It's just the Space Humane Society, okay?
I want to know which of the architects for the High Republic was reading Jeff Vandermeer right before they had to cook this up.
Right? Yo, you don't even... We'll get to the end of Phase 3. And you're going to be like, man, I really undersold that connection.
Oh. Okay. It's fine.
Oh, nope.
Girl, what are you doing?
That's not Google. Sorry.
What are you? I thought I opened it.
No, I'm searching who that man is.
Oh, he wrote Annihilation, dude.
Which is a thing that I get.
Oh my god.
It's a sci-fi about a weird, like, alive shroomtastic planet.
It's not a planet. It's like a part of Florida or something. Anyway, it's a really short book.
It's a dimension.
You could probably read it in like a day because you read so fast. So if you're bored,
I read
one day,
two books this weekend, so probably.
Yeah, no, like it is worth reading. I have not read the other two books in the trilogy. I should probably do that at some point. But Annihilation in and of it is pretty self-contained and it is good. So
sorry. No, I thought I had opened the new tab and was typing in the Google machine, and I was still just in the outline typing Jeff.
You're like those memes of old people trying to do
that's just me
in texts.
It's like searching for something. It's my new Facebook status.
Oh my god.
All is right. Jeff Levelito's real name?
Can we stop potting now?
My name. That's he's actually just mad because nobody knows his name.
What the fuck?
All right, on that note, thank you for listening. Next episode, assuming that we are not all in concentration camps by then, we will be continuing with Path of Vengeance by Kevin Scott. Reading chapter 22 through 43, so that is through the end of part 2. Meanwhile, if you have the means, first and foremost, donate to the National Immigrant Justice Center at immigrantjustice.org. Then if you want to support us, you can donate to either the Tosha Station Radio or Ko-fi. The Tosha Station Radio Patreon. I done this 200 times.
I done this.
It's true. It's yeah. I was like I have nothing. We're probably going to be streaming this month. Maybe next month. It's the 28th. We'll figure it out. We're doing the best at this. But it'll make Argos Blue, Flix Magenta, Merly Orca, and Tony happy if you do something. I don't know. We're doing great today. Our theme song is Whiz Bang by Poddington Bear. Our logo and artwork are by Joby Terra Design. And our audio and production are done by soon-to-be doctor producer Devin Keys, who fucking hates Deadpool and Wolverine, in case anybody was curious about that.
Look, okay, hold on. One second. All right. So I wanted on audio record that if you like that movie, I'm so happy for you. I like genuinely am. But you've got to earn your fucking shawarma, and that's all I'm going to say. Okay? All right. Bye.
They eat shawarma at the end of Avengers.
That's. Do you understand yes. that reference?
I got that.
Yes.
Nailed it, Burb. All right.
I've seen that movie.
Thank you for music back on. Thank you for listening. From all of us, Kate, Devin, Miranda, Rana, I'm Chris. We'll talk to you next week.